couple of weeks ago, the Lord laid a message on my heart. Last night I was looking on my phone and somebody had put a video. A sheep had had a mother sheep had had a two little lambs. And she rejected one of them. It showed this mother sheep butting that little lamb out of the way. Pretty little white lamb, and it stood there and it baa, tried to get some milk from its mother, and she'd kick at it. Shepherd was standing there. He said, every now and then this happens. A mother will reject their little lamb. He said, I'll have to take it in the house. He said, we'll bottle feed it. It'll love us. I was wondering about rejection. Have anyone here ever faced rejection? Hurts, doesn't it? Yes, it does. It hurts. I've seen spouses reject each other. I've watched the tears flow. I've seen children that are rejected by their parents. I've had grown ladies, none now here in the church, but I've had grown people sit and weep about the fact that when they were a child, they were rejected. Some of them the case where, you know, a child wasn't planned for and it wasn't expected and it was inconvenient. But it was born, and parents literally told them, we didn't want you. The last sermon I preached was about, who is this Jesus? It was about his anointing, you know. You remember that he went in the synagogue and he sat down to where he stood up to read, and he read from Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Healed me, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind. Set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You remember how that ended? He sat down and all the eyes of the synagogue fastened on him, and they were in awe. Wow! This is one of our own. And then he stood up to begin to teach some more. And as he was teaching, people there in the synagogue got to looking around at each other. And they were, in their mind, they were questioning, how can this be? He just told us he's the Messiah. How can this be? I mean, we know his mother. We know his brothers. He's from right here. So they begin to question, how can he make this claim that he's the anointed one, the Messiah? And so they begin to speak up. Jesus already was aware. He, by his mighty wisdom, he knew what they were thinking. And he said to them, kind of paraphrase it, I guess you're going to ask me to do miracles to prove who I am. You're going to insist, saying, physician, heal yourself. Do whatever we've heard about you in Capernaum. Do it here in your country, if this is who you think you are. Then Jesus said to them, he understood this questioning. He said, a prophet is not accepted in his own country. Or rejection from your own people, that really stings. Somebody that you thought you loved you and cared about you, and somebody who was seemingly pleased that you were part of the family, and all of a sudden now you're kicked out, cast away, rejected. And Jesus was seeing it coming. He said, I want to tell you guys something. You think you're the chosen people of God? You're Israelites, you're Jews, and the seed of Abraham? You think you're something special? He said, I want to tell you something. I want you to remember the many widows that there was in Israel, and throughout the land in the days of Elijah. The heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine, destitution throughout all of the land. People were starving. But Elijah didn't go to any of those widows in Israel. He went to the widow in Sidon. She was a Gentile. That's where the prophet went, not to Israel. Then he reminded them that in the days of Elisha, there were many lepers in Israel, needed healing. But Elisha did not cleanse by the power of God any of the lepers of Israel. He went on by them and he cleansed Naaman, the Syrian. What Jesus was saying to them is, you rejected your God. You rejected the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so in turn, God went to those who would accept him and receive him. What Jesus was actually saying to the people there in the synagogue that day, you reject me, the anointed one. And if you do, then the anointed one will go to whoever will receive and accept, including the Gentiles. Those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath, anger. How about that? One minute they were amazed at him. One minute they were, wow, what great words this boy from their hometown has just said. And in just a few minutes' time, they're angry at him. They rose up, grabbed a hold of him. Can you picture that scene? Here is Jesus. 30 years old, just beginning his ministry, just came from the wilderness in a battle with Satan, Lucifer himself, and won that battle. He came to town. He stood up to preach his first sermon. He read from the book of Isaiah, and in just a few moments' time, they turned angry with him, got up out of their seats, came up to where Jesus was, grabbed a hold of him, and drove him out of the synagogue. How'd you like to be in church some Sunday morning? That happened. I don't know. You better send some good men. This preacher might not just walk out. I don't have as much grace. Drug him out of the synagogue, down across the town where they were. There was a cliff outside of town. They drug him out there to that cliff, and they were so angry they were going to throw Jesus over the cliff. That's rejection. Somehow in the struggle, somehow in the turmoil, Jesus got loose. And he passed between them and got away, got out of town, saved his life. Jesus, sensing their rejection of him, would not gratify their curiosity and demands for signs, nor would he continue to preach, but rather he warned them with a twofold warning. I will not perform these miracles to satisfy you. Boy, what a change in things today in the church, huh? Oh, all you have to do is ask, and we'll do whatever you want to do. We'll sing whatever songs you want to sing. We'll preach however you want us to preach. We'll do just to satisfy you, just to keep you happy. We need you here. We need the numbers. We need the money. So we'll give you platitudes. We'll do all. Jesus said no. I will not simply perform the miracles that happened in Capernaum and other places just to satisfy your curiosity. But I'll give you this warning. No prophet is accepted in his own country. They had rejected him, and he knew it. Rejection. What is rejection? It's the act of throwing away as useless or vile. Refuse. They renounce or discard. That's what it is to be rejected. I was reading an article just last week where the police found a little boy out along the highway. Somebody, like they do dogs and cats, they just put him out of the car. Nobody to claim him. Rejected. Refused. Thrown away. Useless. Vile. We don't want anything to do with you. Jesus, on this occasion, was dealing with that kind of rejection. He was dealing with being discarded and renounced by his own people. That had to be hard. So many times when we're thinking of Jesus, we're thinking about him walking on the water and healing the blind eyes and making the dead to rise. But here's a moment in his early ministry, just starting out, here's a moment in which he has to deal with the cold, hard facts that his own people don't want him. had to be devastating. Some years ago, I went through a vote by a congregation in which they said, "We don't want you anymore." They fired me. That's how Emmanuel Chapel got started. Rejection. At that moment when I was going through that particular thing in those few weeks, I thought, you know, I can handle most anything, but I'm telling you what, I found out there were some physical problems arose just by the stress and the struggle. What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? Overseer of the church of God said, "I'll send you to Baltimore." I looked across the desk at him and said, "Man, God Himself would have to come down and tell me to go to Baltimore. And you want me to go to Baltimore? I don't think so." And he looked back across the desk as if to say, "I'm the boss." And that's what he said. "You will do what I want you to do." And Linda and I came home from his office and I got my ordination certificate that was on my wall and I rolled it up, folded it up, put it in an envelope and sent it to Cleveland, Tennessee and said, "I resign." Called Brother Powers over at Sear Falls. Said, I just resigned from my ordination in this denomination. I need an ordination certificate. He said, "Come on over." Ordained the same day. Can you imagine Jesus just starting out this rejection? Devastating. Not only did they reject Him, but they became angry at Him. They dragged Him out. Were going to commit murder. They were going to kill Him by throwing Him over that cliff. How in the world did He handle this rejection? Jesus experienced rejection several times. What? I mean, He's the Son of God. He's the one who can just speak and things happen. He's the one that could walk on the water. Can you imagine that? How many of you ever seen someone walking on water? I was out in the middle of the Delaware Bay with my neighbors years ago, and it was like glass out there. We were fishing for trout, and I said to Ben, "Ben, I think, you know, it looks like you can walk on it." He said, "Help yourself, I'm staying in the boat." He wasn't a Christian, he wasn't saved. He was smart enough to stay in the boat. I did too. Several times he suffered rejection. This great Son of God, Jesus, our Messiah, our Redeemer. Brother Ron, turn that air off, would you please? It got to be 87. Somebody left because it was hot. Remember the time when Jesus went over into the place of the region of the Gadarenes. And as he got out of the boat and went up from the lake, here come this fella that they tried to chain with chains. He was demonic. He had legions of demons in him. And he comes out, and these demons are crying out to Jesus, "We know who you are." And you remember the story. Jesus said, "I'm going to cast you out." And they said, "Well, don't send us down to hell." Isn't that something? Demons don't want to even go to hell. And so, "Let us go into that herd of swine." And so he said, "Come out." And out they came. And They went into the herd of hogs. I wouldn't want to eat that pork. You remember the story, they all went crazy and ran down the hill into the lake, drowned. And here stood this man who had been demon-possessed, long hair, no clothes on. Had a family back home and he couldn't go there. He lived in the cemetery, in the graveyard. You would think people from town, the ones that knew him and knew him as he grew up, you would think they would say, "Wow, isn't that amazing? Wow, Jesus, we're so glad you came to town and set this man free from his demon possession." You know what the town council came and said to Jesus? "Please leave. We don't want you around here." Rejection. "You cost us our material possessions." Then there's that time when a whole multitude of them arose and led Jesus to Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And they all cried out at once, saying, "Away with this man! Release to us Barabbas," who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city. He was a murderer. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus again, called out to them, but they shouted, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" You know, I've sat in courtrooms where a judge sentenced people for life in prison. Their mother sitting in the courtroom, but I've never seen a mother. I don't care what her son did. I've never seen a mother tell the judge, "Throw the book at him." I've watched those mothers sit there and cry and weep as they took their boy out in cuffs to spend the rest of his life in prison. But this group of people, here's a man who did nothing but good. Wherever he went, he healed the blind, he raised the dead, the widow's dead son, he multiplied loaves and fishes and fed people. He taught them good things. He never did anything wrong or bad to any of them. And yet here they stand on this occasion crying out, "Crucify him. Put him to death. Give him the most horrendous death that you can die." How could you handle that? That's the ultimate rejection. So I just want you to know that Jesus went through some real tough times in his ministry. I don't know how in the world you could handle that. The second warning that Jesus gave, he told them that God would reject those who rejected his prophet, the Messiah. Jesus explained by calling two well-known stories that I've already shared with you, how God met the need of a Gentile widow, and of how God cleansed the leprosy from a Syrian of all people rather than the children of Israel. God says, "You reject him he will in turn reject you. He has no other choice. Jesus warned his followers that they would also experience rejection. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11, he was preaching the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to what he said in the opening paraphrases of that sermon. He said, "And you will, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Pentecost first came to the hills of Tennessee. Some of the people down there, I sold magazines out in that area, Hamilton County, Tennessee. I sold magazines in the area of Dolly Pond where Pentecostal Church was starting up. And they dynamited the church. The people in the community were saying, "We don't want you in our community." And it was the holiness people in town who set the dynamite to blow up the church. You talk about rejection. A little church up here in Blair's Valley where I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When I was a teenager, years before that, an old brother came up from New Jersey to preach there, and he brought some African American people with him, and you didn't do that in Blair's Valley. The men of Blair's Valley found out about it and they came to the church, the Apostolic Church, right there along the main road in Blair's Valley, with hoods over their heads. They walked down the center of the church while meeting was going on, with their clubs in their hands, and told them that all of the black people, only that's not the words they use, had to leave Blair's Valley. People scrambled out the windows and everywhere they could get out. Upstanding men from Blair's Valley, rejecting fellow citizens that came in to worship the Lord and give honor and praise to God. Old Brother Towers had an old Model A Ford, and they told him, "If you don't leave town and get out of here, we are going to tar and feather you." Good old Pentecostal preacher from New Jersey. And he went down the road in his old Model A, and somebody had thrown poles across the road to stop his car so they could give him a beating and tar and feather him. And he had no other choice. He was keep on going, run over those poles, and get out of Blair's Valley. Rejection. How have we suffered rejection? Have we ever had anyone come to drag us out of the church like they did Jesus? Have we ever had anyone who wanted us to be killed and crucified like they did Jesus? Jesus stood here preaching this Sermon on the Mount, and he said to the followers, his disciples, he said, "You will be happy, you will be blessed when they revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Last week, down in Africa, whole bunch of people were killed, blown up. They were Christians. That's the only reason they were killed, because they were Christians. Last week, rejection. Have we ever faced rejection for our Lord and Savior? For our Jesus? Jesus again in Matthew 10 said, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake." There are people in the United States of America who are desirous for the Christian faith to be eradicated from America. Gus Hall, the president of the Communist Party way back in the 50s, made the statement, "We, the Communist Party of the United States of America, will not be satisfied until the last congressman is strangled by the guts of the last Christian." He stood in his speech and said, "You want blood? We'll give you your own blood on your altars." And they've been working ever since to destroy the faith of Christian people and rejection. I'm asking you this morning, Jesus faced it. Jesus promised us that it would come to His disciples. He said to them, "This is how you handle it." In Matthew 5 and 12, He said, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Are you ready? Do you have enough faith? Do you have enough of the grace of God? Do you have enough of Jesus in your heart, in your soul, in your life, that if you are rejected for His cause, you will be able to look up and say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord"? Remember the apostles and disciples? They were taken by the same people that crucified Jesus. They were beaten, they were whipped, they were scoffed, they were told not to preach anymore. Do you remember what they said? "We are but glad that we can suffer for the cause of Christ." Jesus said in Matthew 10, another way to deal with rejection, "He who endures to the end will be saved." I really haven't had to do a lot of enduring. Oh, I fight temptation just like everybody else. Every now and then Linda says something that doesn't fit in my crawl, and I... remain silent outside. Hey, anybody else? We fight the flesh. We endure against the things of this old world here as far as temptation. But how many of us have had to endure rejection? Ultimate, total, final rejection. I'm telling you, church, you better get ready for it. Oh, I hope and pray Jesus comes back soon. I'm right in agreement with the apostle who said, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Take us out of this old world. Take us away from this old world." But we have brothers and sisters in the faith in China. Do you know, just 2 weeks ago, they arrested the top Chinese Pentecostal pastor in China and put him in jail, took him out of his church. Thousands of people in his congregation. They're in a process of tearing down all the crosses from the churches. Rejection. When it comes to the shores of America, are we ready to say, "If I can but endure for the cause of Jesus"? He was rejected. His disciples were rejected. He promised us that rejection would come our way, and now I am ready to offer myself. It's not easy, but Jesus showed us how to endure rejection by grace and by declaring to those who rejected Him from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When you suffer rejection, do not focus on yourself. Not about you. Do not focus on those who reject you, but focus on rejoicing, because great is your reward in heaven. How many want the reward? And in order to get the reward, you may have to face the rejection. I just wanted you to see another side of who this Jesus is. The last time I told you about, He's the Anointed One. And today I want you to see the picture of Him. He was also the Rejected One. And if He is, He will help us to suffer the same thing for Him. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me?